Hey everyone, my name is Dan Kay. I'm going to be I'm going to be discussing physical telecommunication security in 2 minutes. Note to self, don't buy Josh's watch. So anyway, basically I'm the phone guy. As you might have noticed, I have the climbing spikes, I got the tool belt, butt set, the whole litany of tools. A Meritech contractor. However, my experience has been, I don't carry work ID. I've never owned any in my life. I refuse to carry it, as a matter of fact. Because I don't need it. I don't want people knowing my last name. I don't want them knowing my H code. Ameritech is our local exchange carrier for those of you out of town. My H code is my tech ID number is H949032. But I never need that. I've never needed that information one time. I don't work directly for Ameritech, so I don't have ID. However, I routinely walk into businesses. Anyone here manage network? Okay, we got some network admins. Good. Okay, so when I walk into your office and go, "Hi, I'm the phone guy. You got a problem up on the third floor. One of your users is complaining about their voicemail. I'm going to take a look at it." You're probably going to let me in, no questions asked. I look like it. I didn't even know there's a problem. Kick ass. I don't have to deal with them. Right on. Typically, network admins don't care what I do. They don't care at all because I'm not touching their equipment. Or I'm fixing their equipment. If you have an Adtran TA850, it breaks out a T1 into like distinct 64K channels. Anyways, yeah, I configure those. It's just a boring piece of white box in the wall. But nobody IDs you. Nobody ever asks for ID from the phone guy. Why not? Because people are stupid. Okay, 2 weeks ago, I got this haircut new. And I got this haircut not for the conference, like I should be telling people because I seem like the loyal, helpful son of a gun that I am. But actually, I got the lose the hair, lose your job speech. And the telco market in Detroit is so incredibly tight. I said, I'll have to get a haircut for an interview anyway. So, yeah, I'll just get it and keep a paycheck until I get a better paycheck. And so that's the story behind the haircut. But I was walking in with hair down to here, typically unshaven. I shave about twice a week. I need to shave about three times a week. But I'm a pushy bastard. So simply, pretty much I have no real accountability because I'm in such an obscure channel of the industry that nobody can fire me. And I work really, really cheap. Yeah, I do. I'm 65% of what the ILEC charges. And I work twice as well because, I'm not smoking crack. I look like it, but I'm not. If you've seen a lot of Ameritech or Verizon or AT&T or MCI or any IRC-LEC employees, they pretty much dress like this. We got the climbing boots, we got the belt, we got a shirt. Sometimes we're wearing ID, sometimes we're not. Ameritech is the only one I can speak intelligently on. Their company policy is you either wear a work shirt or you wear an ID, but you don't have to wear both. I don't know why. But that's like standard policy. If you're wearing the shirt, you don't have to have ID on you because there's no mag stripes. And if you have a mag stripe for like a CO, yeah, you carry it or you're just a dumbass. But again, this is Ameritech, and they are. We look shady. There's a type of personality that's attracted to this industry, and it's not a smart one. I crawl through ceilings. I've fallen 40 feet. I've lost probably 3 liters of blood on customer equipment. It happens. This isn't the smartest group of people. This is the group of people who heal fast. And because we don't like to deal with people, anything I say can be really, really obscure deliberately. Yeah, okay, here's the problem. Your DS1's down, and we're working on the problem right now. It looks like your TA850 is misconfigured. I'm going to take a look at that out of the CO. It could be a number of things. I'm just going to be up in the ceiling taking a nap for about 45 minutes. I don't verbalize that last part, but okay, I'll admit it. I have fallen asleep on customer sites, and then I've subsequently billed them. Yes, I have. Well, it didn't go to me. I don't get a commission, but this is a customer who said, "Yeah, I need one phone line drop 12 feet." They needed 12 phone lines drop 400 feet. So my 30-minute expectation, and this was like the 1 week in my life where I had a tight schedule, I had to call 5 customers and say, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't work as fast as you'd like me to, so I have to reschedule you for next week." And I don't like being yelled at by customers because, well, I don't like customers. I don't want to deal with human beings. None of us do. So anyways, back on topic, you have very strange, you're used to weird people coming up to your building and saying, "Hi, I'm here to fix stuff. I got a work order that makes no sense to you." Exactly. Well, we got stuff. Now, typically what happens is I'll walk into a building I've never been in, and let's call it a one-story office building. It's a standalone building. It's not a strip mall or anything. I walk in and go, "Hi, I'm the phone guy." 50% of the time they say, "Well, what do you want?" And I say, "Is something broken?" "I don't think so." "Can I look?" "Sure." Okay, that's very, very bad. That's kind of like saying, "Hi, you might have bad charges on your credit card. Can I have the number and I'll check for you?" I can do sick and wrong things to your phone lines. I could do things that scare the Amish. I scare Romanian children. They tell tales about my work. Most of my job description is covered by the FCC. They have very strict, very bizarre policies on what you can and cannot touch. Hypothetically speaking, I violate that about twice a week because you can touch the wires on this side of the block. However, 1/4 inch to the left, you can't. Well, if I see the physical problem, I'm not waiting 3 weeks for HICAP to provision someone out to move a wire. I'm simply just going to fix it because, well, not because I'm diligent, not because I'm thorough. It's because I don't want to have to come back. So now that you know who you're talking to, when the Ameritech guy comes to, or whoever your local phone company is, when they come in and they say, "Hi, I'm here to fix stuff," first of all, ask them what. Then verify if it's broken. A lot of times, I have gone into places where they have installed the wrong type of circuit, the circuit to the wrong building. I once had one where they left the line. Somehow the order actually got passed through and completed. You know those little green boxes on the side of your lawn that you have to use the weed whacker to cut the grass around, the cross-connect cans? It was 3 cans away, but it was a completed order. That's common. Now, in that case, it's completely against the law for me to touch it, and I like it that way because I don't have to figure out where the hell they are. So what I do is I say, "Yeah, there's nothing at the network interface. Find it. Tag it," is my best one. "Yeah, okay, I'm sure it's there. Put a tag on it for me." And eventually they bring it in the building and claim it was there all the time, and, well, my shit's there, and it's all good. Number 2, ask for ID. You'd be amazed how many places I have. I've been doing my job for 4 years. I have got 3 locations that consistently ask me for identification. One of them is an actually secured site. They do record and data storage. They require me to give them my driver's license. They compare it to me. They give me a visitor badge that requires escort. They never ask me to be escorted, but, you know, the badge thinks it is, so it's all good. The other two are, one of them is a building downtown Detroit. They don't read the log, so they make me sign in, no identification, because they see the tool belt, and they know I'm a contractor, so they want the ID. I have signed it in as Jesus Christ. I was going to do Emmanuel Goldstein, but I couldn't spell it. I have signed in as a lot of things. Dan Kay, Jesus Christ was, of course, my favorite, and that was like the first time I did it really, really strangely, because I thought, they've never checked the name. They say, "Write it on the clipboard and go." There's actually several columns. It's, you know, your name, the customer name that you're visiting, the suite number, and the time, in and out. I never sign out, ever. I'm going back to my truck. I'll be right back, like 5 minutes. I'm gone. I just don't want to. I'm just being contrary and petty, and, well, I can. But they don't realize it because they don't read the freaking logs. It's just when they get to the full page, they flip the page. If there's ever a problem on the 22nd, they see who signed in on the 22nd. I don't put down the date. Now, they can look at the one before and after and kind of deduce that, you know, this jackass was here on the 22nd. But they don't know who I am. I don't put my company name. When they, you know, sweet number, I say all. Because they deserve to be messed with because they're stupid. Don't have security policies unless you actually even try to enforce them. I mean, they're great for, like, you with the belt, sign in. But the board is actually from about me to Jason Scott from them. Now, unless they've got like X-ray eyes, nothing ever is seen, and they don't read it. It's all good. The third one actually is the weirdest little spot in the world. It's like 9 Mile in Greenfield. The security guard there is about 400 years old, and he doesn't like anybody. So if you want to get access, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. But he's not very smart. See, that's really the bad side. It's like he's really great about like stopping people from what he thinks they're supposed to not do. But if they're allowed to do it, he won't let them do it either. The customer has an ILEC, and the ILEC will not wire to prem. They only wire to existing RJ21X, which is the 66 block. And what happens is they bring the dial tone, and they sometimes even tag it for – this is the demarcation point for the entire building. Of like if anyone who's from around here, it's the Guardian building at 9 in Greenfield. The security guard is an idiot, and he will not let you into that room unless you have ID. I say, but I don't have any. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Why not? Because I don't. I'm like, here's my business card, my company name. Here's my driver's license with my name that matches this business card. I thought I was, going to get in at this point. And he looks at it, and he can tell I'm up to something, but he doesn't quite know what. So he gets really irritated that he can't figure out what my scheme is. So he just says, no. Gives me my stuff back. No, you can't come in. Okay. So I actually had the customer call and confirm, yeah, tall, skinny, white guy, really weird, let him in. Okay, that's fine. I don't mind. It was a little bit irritating. Like, how dare you deny me access? I was just in a bank. The bank didn't know me. I'm dead serious. I could give you bank names of who has never questioned me. Hi, I'm the phone guy. You're having some kind of problem with your voicemail? I don't even know what. Yeah. The voicemail is acting weird. Okay, what's it actually doing? Okay, they've now let me in the building. This is even social engineering. This is just like a casual lie. Hi, I'm the phone guy. I've not identified. Yo. Dude, I did buy this off of eBay. You can't tell, but this is actually one of my favorite. This is my Southwest Bell shirt. I have two Ameritech, like really nice Ameritech shirts. The Eric department, which doesn't exist anymore, is like, enhanced repair for the interconnect. You know, they only did like, huts. It was a great job, and they did a wonderful task of like keeping everything in the interconnect working. So they closed the department because it was working. Why do we need this department? But that's an entirely different topic on what the hell's wrong with the phone company. This, in fact, is what the hell is wrong with you people, not you people per se, but people in general. I could do very bad things to your phone lines. And I'm not talking about, I can come in, I can put my butt set on your phone line, and I could call, like, Ecuador and laugh because, ha, 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 I'm pranking some schmo in Ecuador ordering a pizza. Hi, is this Ecuador? Can you see the equator? No, see, that's lame. I could do much better things. I can move your phone line to my house. I can move your phone line to my house, and I can call Ecuador in my underwear anytime I want, as often as I want, for as long as I want. And then all I have to do is remove a pair of jump wire when I think, okay, they're going to get their phone bill probably, like, tomorrow. I should probably, like, destroy any freaking evidence that this line's in my house before I go to fucking prison. Because that is, by the way, a federal offense. If you ever consider doing it, you're going to become somebody's bitch. Because, you know, the murderers and rapists do not respect a stool of phone call. If you're not somebody's bitch, you ought to be. Just for saying that. Lie about what you're in prison for if it's for phone fraud. I beseech you. Yes, ask for identification. And then, even if you get it, verify it if they look shady. Or if they just piss you off. Because a lot of times, now, okay, when I go to a customer, I pretend like I care about their problem. I give them 90 seconds to care. Hi, Mr. Smith. How you doing today? My name's Dan. I'm the phone guy. I understand you have a problem with your voicemail. If you can go into a little bit of what's going on, I'd be happy to take a look at it for you. Okay, that's like 20 seconds. Then they talk. They tell me what the actual problem is. By the end, they actually tell me what's really going on versus what they imagine and are sure is the problem. Typically, the data network is down because their Ameritech voicemail is acting funny. Yeah, these are the two things that have the least about with each other, and I do get that a lot. Any people working in the data maintenance understand that customers, they need you for a reason because they don't know what they're talking about. And that's cool. I'm down with that. I prefer customers not knowing what I do for a living because it keeps me employed. If everyone knew how to do my job, I would be flipping burgers right now. This would be like BurgerCom because I have that kind of power. Yeah. Okay, but a lot of times, I kind of have a problem with Ameritech technicians. I know about three that I really respect. I know about 40. And the problem is that most of them are idiots. They have really poor training, and that's company, unfortunately. It's not the people's fault that the company won't train them. They pretty much say, yeah, we gave you like a week's worth of training on, you know, standard, you know, nothing's weird in this equation situations. Figure it out. Well, okay, I'm not supposed to repair DS1s. Well, figure it out. It's just, you know, it's just jumpware. Fix it. Make it work. That happens a lot. A lot of time of problems that you'll suddenly have. There was nothing wrong, but your entire neighborhood doesn't have a phone line, and there was no backhoe in the area, is that somebody didn't know you can't cut the wires. Or Paul Timmons, in fact, did get a squirrel and a jar of peanut butter in a cross-connect box. Anyone who knows Paul and understands that joke. He's never done it to my knowledge, but he threatened to do it to me once, and I almost wet myself laughing because it was just so damn funny. Well, because he can figure out where my cross-connect is. I mean, I know where it is. I actually found it before I found my apartment where I'm living now. I'm like, oh, there's my CO. I live three blocks from the CO. It's on a corner. You can't miss it. I give it as a landmark. Okay, you go down when you get to Mac. There's an Ameritech building on your left, on your right, turn left. And, well, all my friends are phone geeks, so they're like, what silly code is that? I'm proud to say I don't know. It makes me feel good about myself that I don't know something that useless. But yeah, I refer to Ameritech technicians as pretty much meat things, meat bags, and train chimps. Now, that's not accurate because, well, you can train chimps to do a better job. Their verbal skills will be lacking, I admit. They'll be on par with Ameritech. There'll be even distribution at that point. However, they would be able to crawl rafters quicker, easier, without complaining. And they'd be more pleasant, and they only throw half as much feces. I have had to clean up more Ameritech nonsense messes just because they don't know what the hell they're doing than I care to admit to. And it happens. You know, I make mistakes. I'm a human being. Believe it or not, the phone guy actually is human. It's a rumor. But most of us don't act like we're human. It's a very dirty job. It's very disgusting. It's very thankless. I'll be in your ceiling for 45 minutes, crawling through like 500 years worth of dust. Actually, I have crawled through asbestos dust that had been there minimum of 100 years. Detroit houses the third largest number of pre-depression buildings in the United States. I'm in their crawl spaces. There's a reason why I weigh 165 pounds and I'm 6 foot tall. It's because if I gain any weight, I can't work. I can't if I can't get my head and shoulders into it, I can't pull cable through it. My boss is overweight, which is why I'm the poor schlub who falls 40 feet when all of a sudden there's no more support underneath you. And it hurts a lot. You don't get the rest of the day off, by the way, at my company. The phrase, suck it up, you're not bleeding, was uttered. He was a drill sergeant, and it shows. But yeah, you typically get someone who comes in, and they're just a complete cock knocker. Yeah. Okay. You got some kind of problem here. According to my order, I'm supposed to just test this out. No, that's not what we said when we ordered the... We made the trouble ticket. In actuality, what we're supposed to do is, I've got no dial tone. I need you to fix it. And while you're here, I need you to actually bring it to the D-mark, not leave it hanging on the ceiling. Yeah, well, actually, as recently as last week, had somebody take the line, the pair off of the D-mark, pull the cable back. It was like a Cat 3 coming in. It was for their DSL and their fax line. They beanied it. Again, this is a DSL. They beanied it to an existing Cat 5 cable that was run up through the ceiling. They terminated the Cat 5 early, and they left the DSL router plugged in the ceiling, because that's where the Cat 5 went. Now, never mind that I had a 25 pair running to the extended DMARC. It was labeled to extended DMARC room 25. It was like the one in 30 that I actually label. I never label things because, well, who the hell needs to know that? It's obvious. It's 25 pair. It's going to the front. Think about it. Okay, well, thinking about it and reading the freaking, you know, anyone know the phrase RTFM? Read the fucking manual. It's applicable in many cases in my job, and no one does it. If you have someone who's coming in as a cock knocker, even if they're wearing the shirt, they're wearing the belt, they got the truck with a flashing yellow light, they have ID, you can verify it. Absolutely, you're right. I'm sorry, before I let you in, I need to have your identification. I want to confirm your identity. You go, you start downloading porn off Kazaa. You get on game for about 10 minutes, and you pick up the phone, and there might be an 800 number, I don't know. And you call and go, yeah, I got this guy, and he's here. I want to confirm his identity. And it takes him about 5 minutes to figure out who the hell this is. What's that? Well, sure. Actually, if you scan it and then go to Kinko's, you can get a really, really nice print. I had an instructor once who, what he did was, he was retiring and going in as a private contractor, and they were taking away his badge because he's the contractor now. He's not like staff. So he only got the contractor badge, and that only let him into like part of the building. Well, so what he did was he went to Kinko's and he did a color photocopy of his badge, and he laminated it. And everybody knew he retired, and they're like, dude, you're still here? Yeah. And he just went in, and whenever somebody else would like swipe their card, he would just walk in after them. Yeah, not checking ID is pretty rampant. Now, that was actually fairly slick. You know, I mean, everyone knew the guy personally. And he was doing it as a joke. He wasn't, like, you know, stealing proprietary information. He wasn't a bad guy. In fact, he was a great teacher. He knew more about ADTSE than I ever care to know. But, yeah, check an ID. And you're allowed to make their lives hell. It is your God-given right to make their lives a nightmarish, living, breathing hell. Because you're the customer. And they do it to me every day. And you should. But again, the way I'm dressed right now, any one of you would say, oh yeah, you can fix stuff. And once you're in the building, see, the phone guy doesn't exist. I don't have a name. I don't have an identity. I'm the phone guy. I haven't had privilege of person in 4 years. Which is nice, because I like the anonymity. I like being the shadowy man who just magically fixes stuff. I refer to my repairs in my paperwork as FM. Anyone know the phrase FM? Yes, exactly. It's fucking magic. How'd you fix it? It was working. It wasn't working before. I plugged in my tester. It suddenly started. It came to life. I can't find what was causing the problem. It's fucking magic. Now, with the customer, you make up what happened. You're like, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I think it was like a loose wire at the DMARC. I just re-terminated. That probably will clear up. It might not. You might have a secondary issue. If you do, give us a call. We'll be happy to come back out again and see if we can recreate the problem. At this point, I can't recreate it, so I'm assuming that was the only problem. Yeah, it's freaking magic. $65 an hour for me to plug in a tester. Minimum of 1 hour. If you live far, far away from where my apartment is, we charge you for the mileage because, well, I'm far, far away, and my boss whines, why'd you take you 2 hours to get there? Because it's 2.5 hours away, and I drove really effing fast. Well, don't get a ticket, but get there faster. Did I mention he's insane? Yes. I digress. I've been let into vaults. I actually only wanted to go into the vault to see if they would let me in. Now, this bank knew me. I admit, that was cheating. They knew who I was. My office is across the street from this location. And I had been doing there for 3 years. But I'm like, you know, I think you got some cable running through the vault. And I think that's the problem with your voicemail. So I need to get in there. Would that be cool? I mean, I understand if you don't, but there's not much I can do if you don't. So, yeah, pretty much, because I'm not running new cable through that freaking vault because it's fire stopped on both ends. And you probably can't even see it. It's probably actually behind the blast wall. And customers don't know what the hell you're talking about, so you can make up things like a blast wall. And it's good. It's all good. I do not condone anyone doing this illegally, by the way. You will go to jail when you're caught for being an idiot. And if you are, don't mention my name. Again, I only do this because this is my job. This is what I do for a living, and I'm just having a little bit of fun with them. I'm led into secure sites, confidential record storage. They have no problem with me, you know, walking around completely unescorted. My hair was down to here, and I looked like I was smoking dope all morning. Sure, go on to the record room. It's all good. Let's see, who else let me in? One time, I was trying to configure a voiceover IP facet for a fairly large copy manufacturer. They make photocopies, and it wasn't Xerox. They have two locations in this area, one in Troy and one in Dearborn, I believe. And their T1, they couldn't do the voiceover IP over this dedicated circuit. And so I'm configuring it, and I said, okay, here's what I need. I need you to give me your server password and username. I need your admin account because it will not take changes as a guest. I can't make this configuration. And it was true. So without question, I'd never met this guy. I still had yet to meet him. He was at the other location. He's like, well, I can just tell that and log it in. I'm like, well, I have to keep rebooting the machine every time I make an attempt. And I predict about 12 because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, basically. You know, you've got this third-party application you want me to configure. You bought it. I don't know it. You don't have a tech for it. I'm the best you got. Okay, well, this is my password. He says, I mean, I can just change it after you leave, right? Yes. Yes, you can. Now, I admit I did not backdoor it. I thought about it. I stood there with my fingers poised over the keyboard thinking, do I really want to own someplace who sells, like, multi-thousand-dollar copiers? I don't really have anything I need to copy, though. I'm not about greed. I'm really not. I'm very strange. I'm not financially oriented, which is why I'm poor. But, you know, I'm cool with it. My creditors are pretty pissed. But but fuck them. But it's all good. But I do things because I'm curious. I like to explore. I love these buildings that are 100 years old because, like, it's you get this glorious architecture that's been, like, covered up by, like, a false ceiling. You know, you get to see this, like, this beautiful, like, stone arch, you know, that's like, dude, you should gut your building and, like, paint it. Water seal this. This is godlike. No, this ceiling looks nice. Yes, we do use that word in this industry. Aight is, in fact, an affirmative response. I actually am. Yes, my office is in River Rouge. Pardon me, glorious River Rouge. A new smell every day, kids. One person laughs. They've been to River Rouge. Anyone have any questions? Am I boring the hell out of you? Jason, are you awake? I know you can sleep with your eyes open. I've seen it before. It's glorious. Yeah, well, did you see him with his bottle of Jack?
No.
Yeah, that's Jay. Yeah, faux shizzle. Yeah, it's all about the skinny white guy impersonating Snoop Dogg as badly as possible, isn't it? Yeah. Don't give the phone guy your server password. You deserve every bad thing he does to you if you do it. I promise you. I only personally know one technician that I would trust with my voice and data applications at the same time. If for voice over IP. And it's not Paul Timmons. Paul's my boy, but he doesn't configure Cisco every stinking day. Ben Mason is the only person I would trust for telephony and for data. And I wouldn't trust me, quite frankly, because I'm a butcher. I do bad things to computers. I admit it. I'm a freaker who hacks, not a hacker who freaks. But, you know, to each his own. But the reality is that the phone guy is untrained at all. Anyone here have DSL? All right. When they installed your DSL, did they seem like the village idiot? Did they seem to identify what a computer was, or did they actually have a written checklist of what to do step by step? Like the complete and utter idiot's guide to installing a DSL line. Bring in phone number. Put on jack. Put on filters. Plug in unit. Power on. Do loopback test. Seen it. I've seen a lot of like bizarre DSL things. Typically it's we have this DSL line, it's also our fax machine. And it's not filtered. And you have problems, you say. Have you tried a DSL filter? Yeah, but it kept falling out of the wall. And I care why. Buy a new one. Buy a better one. Buy the master one. Buy the one that's $25. I don't care. It's not my money. It's, you know, okay. Now, the irony here is, anyone ever hear somebody in an office someplace where you wanted to beat them to death because they said, quote, the internet is down? That is such a common expression, and it's most of the time it's not like joking. Now, when a tech says, oh, shit, the entire internet's down, millions and millions of computers all went down at the same moment, along with switches and routers. The damnedest thing. What were the odds? Okay, now that's a great joke, the first time. But offices, it's routine for the network to be down for whatever reason. We're upgrading the switch. We're going to a gigabit switch. You're going to be down for like 5 minutes. There's a lot of downages for data. It's just, and I think part of it is because the users really don't understand the technology, so it's okay. They don't understand why it works. They don't understand how it works. They don't even understand that it works. They just know that I type in my thing on my keyboard, and I hit enter, and then they pay me for it. That's it. That's all the user has to know, and I'm cool with that. However, the telephone's been around since the 1800s. Everybody grew up with the telephone being a real tangible item. Now, in 1968, you actually were allowed to put, you know, third-party applications onto your telephone line, like a fax machine, which then led to the divestiture, which I will pleasantly spare you. I could actually go on about the divestiture and the seven baby bells at length, but I won't. Merry Christmas. Where the hell was I going with that? No matter. All right. Because you can put any damn thing you want on the phone line, you should. However, you shouldn't necessarily let the village idiot install it. I actually turned down a cable service because their technician was too stupid. I couldn't talk him over the phone. They called me at work. I'm installing like somebody's LAN. I'm on my Nextel, and I'm explaining to him where my switch is. I'm explaining to him that I currently have Comcast. I describe what the Comcast box looks like. I'm like, it's the one that says Comcast. It's black. There are six green lights on it. The first three are solid green. The second two, going from left to right, the second two are probably intermittent. The third one might flash periodically, but not necessarily. I'm like, that's my cable modem. The back of that is my cable. You take that box off and put your box on, and take the other end of that wire and put it from Comcast little green box to your little green box. That's what I want you to do. Well, we have these policies and procedures, and we have to go through the checklist. Okay, here's the deal. You're going to do that, and you're going to do it right now. Well, we have these one of the policies was the switch had the router had to be in the same room as a computer. Well, I didn't have a computer in my living room, I'm sorry to say. I was still married at the time, which is why I now have several in my living room. And I also have a different living room, interestingly enough. But a lot more green blinking lights. And I also have two switches, so I'm elite like that. When I had to call Wide Open West, I shouldn't give them an anti-plug like this, but the hell with them. I called them back. I said, okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to send me somebody who's heard of, I don't even care if they have certifications. I want someone who's heard of BXI standards. BXI is, do you know what the IEEE is? Okay. It's like the phone guy version of that. They have their own independent, incredibly expensive to test out certifications that says, yes, I can wire stuff. I have two BXI points. I'm an Allentel certified Cat 5e installer. I can punch down a wire onto a jack. I didn't actually have to show up for the training. It was held at Gray Bar. I showed up for lunch and to pick up some Cat 5. And I showed up at the end, and he's like, how'd you like the lecture? I'm like, it was good. What's your name? I told him. And I had a little piece of paper. I framed it. It's in my office. It's really, really cheesy. It's next to my Brain Bench certification, which my boss was impressed with. Going back to he's insane. Yeah. For the most part, when you do a voice over IP, you have two people. You have the telephony guy, a guy like me, who hopefully has heard of a computer and possibly even touched one once. And then you have the data guy, who can tell you what your subnet mask is while drunk, blindfolded, and being beaten with batons. He can, like, calculate bizarre equations, like, mystically. I have the greatest respect for data guys because I don't understand half of it. I mean, I understand the protocols. I understand the amount of electricity. I can run your cable, but I don't understand what you're doing, anything beyond, like, pretty much anything that involves, like, more than, like, 3 seconds worth of intelligent thought. If I have the epiphany in the shower of, holy crap, I got to put the card in the machine. Okay, cool. Beyond that, no. I shouldn't configure your network, and I routinely do it. It's just because everyone else there is stupid, or stupider than I am, which, you know, is not hard to do. I'm not the dumbest person in the world. I'm sure by far not the smartest. But, okay, you have these two groups of people, and they don't like each other. Typically, data people have no respect for the phone guy because, dude, you're doing analog tip and ring. You are so freaking lame. Yeah, why don't you go climb a pole, tough guy? And then the telephony people typically look at the data guy as, like, you know, this arrogant little 22-year-old snot who has no idea what the hell he's talking about. Because, well, we typically have no idea what the hell he's talking about, so obviously it's not our fault. Damn it, we're the phone guy. We are gods. Okay, now these two people have to configure the same piece of equipment to work. That's why voice over IP doesn't work. That's why everyone doesn't have voice over IP in their house. It's because people who hate each other have diametric opposition to one another, have to have lunch, and talk about what the hell they're doing. And even if you get it installed somewhat, something goes wrong eventually. Everything goes wrong eventually. It's the law of the universe. You can have, like, the world's greatest switch, the world's best fiber optic connection. And sooner or later, a squirrel's going to chew through your DS1. Why? Because that would suck. But it happens. In that case, it's no big deal. Okay, well, we don't have lights and green lights in the smart jack. Call a phone company. Make them fix it. When your internal communications don't work, what happens is, okay, I'm actually certified to install the Nortel BCM, the Business Communication Manager. It's the world's worst IP telephony system on the planet. You know it well. I'm like the only non-Ameritech guy in the state who's certified to do it, and it doesn't work. I mean, it does kinda. Like, hey baby, come here often. Kinda works. If she's got brain problems, but not usually. So what happens is, okay, so my quality of stand, I get a lot of like latency issues, and you start getting echo. You know, okay, so you have to, you know, apply echo cancellation. You got to, like, you know, tweak your quality of service standards. No big deal. Well, the problem is, somebody says, I paid a metric ass load, trademark, of money for this system. Why is it broken? Well, whoever they ask blames the other guy. Well, you know, my smack was set. You know, and then he came in and changed it. Now, he came in and changed it because it doesn't work in the default settings. So what happens is, okay, I do my stuff, I do it textbook. You come in, and you're like, okay, this doesn't work. Okay, I know if I change his setting to this, okay, I use a different compression ratio, it's all good. Something goes wrong, it's all finger pointing. That's why I'm one of the few people who can play with a phone and a computer at the same time. There's like 10 of us. We're all this lame, by the way. Yeah. Any questions, comments, Rotten Tomatoes?
Where are your puppets?
You, sir, are the man. Okay, I wasn't going to go on after that. Now I certainly can't. So thank you. Have a good day. Enjoy the show. And Jason Scott is going to be delivering something on Apple II hacking later this evening. You should definitely check it out because he's just the man like that. And I will be heckling near the end.